welcome to MotoPod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 509 for Wednesday, the 21st of September 2016. My name is Harry Lloyd, doing it sort of solo this week. Everyone continues to be very, very busy. You may have already heard from Skylar, or you may be hearing from him in a little bit, depending on how I edit this episode. He's recorded some stuff. And then I recorded some other stuff. I haven't listened to his stuff yet as I'm recording this, full disclosure. So I'm not exactly sure how it will all fit together. But through space magic and the wonder of editing, it will all work and it will all be okay. I'm here to talk to you about the World Superbike and British Superbike Championship races and rounds that we had last weekend in the Lausitzring, and then at, where were we in BSB? Why am I blanking on where we raced at BSB? Donington Park, that's where. Of course it was Donington Park, because the racing was quite exciting in BSB. Always excellent. World Superbikes was a bit hit or miss, but we will get to that in just a jiffy. We do have a decent bit of news, a couple of surprises. But anyway, first and foremost, the most important part of the show, a big thank you to everyone who does subscribe, donate, and support Motopod. If you'd like to join this soon-to-be illustrious list of people, you can go to motopodcast.com down the left-hand side, the PayPal links, as we always say. But we've forgotten to do this a couple of times. So I'm just going to read everyone who has donated since the start of the month. Some of these will be donations, some of these will be new subscriptions, some of these will be recurring subscriptions. So I will be sure to point those out as we go along, but we will start with AC, Andrew Course. A big thank you, sir, for your recurring donation. Also a big thank you to AJ Pilbeam for your most generous recurring donation as well. And also thank you for renewing your subscription. PayPal is telling me that you have renewed it, so big thank you there. Big thank you to Gary Shavitt, very familiar name there. Big thank you to Joe Mueller for your recurring subscription as well. Lots of recurring subscriptions, which is great. So, you know, those recurring subscriptions really do help us figure out how we are going to do things. You know, obviously time is a very big budget factor for Motopod, but also, you know, money does play a factor. So if we do have those recurring subscriptions, then we can, in theory, plan our time a little better. So big thank you to Alan Fleming as well for your recurring subscription there, sir. Alan Fleming again there. And then, as I go through my emails, a big thank you to Frank Losciavo, the name that I can never say. Frank, motopod at motopodcast.com. Please do email in how to say your last name so that I don't constantly slaughter it. A big thank you to Martin Gurney for your most generous recurring subscription. Also, a thank you to Thomas Vale. Also, a big thank you to Thomas Vale for your recurring subscription, or Thomas Valet, depending on how much of a Rossi fan you are. I think I make that joke every time I read your name, Thomas. So hopefully that's not too bad. Then a big thank you as well to Brian Elliott for your generous recurring subscription there as well, sir. Then B. Fetterplace, of course, buying his way up the Motopod Fancy League with his recurring subscriptions. And then last but not least, James Di Pretoro for your most generous recurring subscription. So a big thank you to everyone, and sorry for being a bit slack on the old updates. With the change of job, I don't get home till quite late, and sometimes Motopod has been recorded by the time I get home, and obviously it's a bit unprofessional to do non-work things while at work. So, you know, got to keep the boss on side and stay on task. Now we're going to have a brief interlude. Because as I said, I don't get home till 7. I have to go to the shops today to buy food. So it's currently 7:30 and I haven't eaten since midday. I go to Aragon at 3 a.m. tomorrow, or when you people are listening to it, probably yesterday or even the day before. So we're going to have a brief interlude for that hopefully delicious sound. As fans of the show will know, we have been having one or two energy drinks the past shows that I have been on. Some have been a bit hit, some have been a bit miss. The Valentino Rossi flavoured monster, or branded, I guess it's not really flavoured like Rossi, but maybe that is what he tastes like. Who knows? Let's quickly brush over that. So that one's quite good. The zero calorie, what was it? Rockstar Energy something. That was not very good. So now we've just gone for the standard Red Bull, just Red Bull energy drink. But we have gone for a bit of a big boy can. As I slowly try and rotate, it is 473 milliliters. So that is a quite big for a Red Bull. I'm not sure what that is in American. I don't know ounces. The only ounces I know is 40 ounce. So cheers everyone as I have a sip of this delicious Austrian beverage. That tastes like Marc Marquez. And I like to think that I'm supporting MotoGP in my own special way as I kill my body with that energy drink, because Red Bull, as it turns out, put in a lot of money into MotoGP, as do Monster. They're sort of, you know, energy drinks, sort of the new tobacco. Obviously, that has been brought up a couple of times in various blogs. But if you'd like to share your opinions on what your favorite energy drinks are, maybe send in some recommendations to me, motopod@motopodcast.com. If I wasn't doing Motopod and didn't have a job, I would be doing one of two things. One would be running a MotoGP fashion site where I report on all the changes to rider leather and helmets. And the other one would be probably doing YouTube video reviews of energy drinks so everyone could see my pretty face. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you have any energy drink recommendations, then do fire them away. Obviously, living in England, we don't have the same vast variety that those in America do have. There's quite a good, what's it called, Rockstar Recovery Lemonade or something. That's quite good, but I've never seen that outside of the US. So yeah, now that we're done with energy drink talk, you know, Motopod, we obviously have Helicopter Hour with Martin, and now we have energy drink excitement. That's quite poor alliteration. Energy drink diluge, energy drink download with Harry. That's now over, so we can get straight into the news. We didn't, unfortunately, have any listener feedback. As I said, motopod@motopodcast.com for your thoughts on anything. Oh, we did actually have one piece of listener feedback on the Finnish rider, but I can't remember it now, and we're already in the show, so there's no going back now. So perhaps the biggest news leading up to Aragon was that, unfortunately, Jack Miller will not be racing in Aragon. He's obviously still recovering from that quite nasty crash he had in Austria. Initially, it had been his back that had caused him a lot of problems, but now it seems to be his right hand. He rode in Silverstone okay-ish with his hand, but then throughout the course of riding at Misano, it was discovered that he did have some breaks in it, and that much like John Hopkins when he hurt his little fingers back in, what was that, 2012, I think it was, riding the bike, it actually caused Miller's fractures to reopen on his hand, which was not so good for Miller, so he will be missing the Aragon round, but it does mean that we will have an American back in the World Championship, and that American is Nicky Hayden. Now, there had been some rumours going around Silverstone that when Miller was first in doubt about riding, that Hayden might have been able to jump on the Australia Galicia Mark VDS bike, but alas, Hayden was not needed then. But he has been called back up to bat, more or less. You know, this will be the first time that Hayden's been on any sort of a competitive Honda in what, he had 2 years on the, was it 2 years? I think it was 2 years on the Open. Yeah, it was 2 years on the Open Honda. I mean, is Nicky Hayden going to become the ninth different winner this season? Probably not. I think that it'll be interesting to see who does better out of him and Lowe's. You know, obviously Lowe's will be in what, his fourth MotoGP race? No, his third MotoGP race, because Bradley Smith also not coming back. I think it'd be interesting to see how Lowe's and Hayden do. Lowe's is obviously, you know, has a bit more of a point to prove in MotoGP. You know, Nicky Hayden's pretty much done it all in MotoGP. But it'll be interesting to see what Hayden can do on a bike that's won a race, you know? It's won a race with Jack Miller, it's won a race with Cal Crutchlow. You know, I'm just excited. I'm a big Nicky Hayden fan, right? I think most people are big Nicky Hayden fans. You don't see many people who don't like Nicky Hayden, you know? He's a nice dude. Sure, some people may think he was an undeserving champion, but that's a separate thing. But no, I'm excited to see him. I will be bringing my camera to Aragon, so, you know, I'm gonna make sure I get, or gonna try to get an in-focus photo of Nikki Hayden. Whether that actually happens is a completely different issue. But yeah, excited to see Nikki back. Interesting to see what he can do. You know, I don't think Nikki Hayden's ever going to come back to MotoGP, but I guess it's all right that, you know, he's at least getting a replacement ride. Good for the fans. Obviously, you know, in a bad situation like this, it would have been ideal for Nikki to do it in Austin because of the American thing. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I don't think he's going to attract too many more people to Aragon because it's sort of in the middle of nowhere. If you are at Aragon, then please do say hello to me or send me a message at motopod@motopodcast.com. Would be great to chat. Speaking of Americans, PJ Jacobson. The rumor has resurfaced that he may be going to Moto 2 next year. I saw PJ Jacobson and his lovely Justin Bieber hair. I'm not actually saying that facetiously. I actually think that a bleached dyed blonde is quite a good look. I've considered it myself on several occasions. I tried to do it once, but I forgot that you had to bleach your hair before putting in the blonde hair dye. So I sort of just turned copper haired. It wasn't a good look, but anyway, maybe I'll bleach dye my hair at the end of the season. But yeah, PJ Jacobson, there's the rumor that he's going to Moto 2. I think it was in Austria, or maybe it was Brno, I can't remember exactly. I saw him sniffing around the Moto 2 garages, specifically in the Stop and Go, or SAG, garage, the team that currently runs Jesko Raffin and used to run Luis Salom. Obviously, one of their riders next year will be Isaac Vinales. So maybe PJ could go there. I don't think that's the best team. I'd like to see PJ go to a bit more of a competitive team, maybe Idemitsu Honda Team Asia. I know it's a bit of a weird fit for an American to go to a Japanese-run team, but PJ Jacobson has been doing a lot of endurance riding for the FCC TSR Honda squad. So maybe those two squads share some sponsors. I'm not 100% sure. I can't think off the top of my head if they do. But yeah, PJ could be a nice one. Speaking of rider movements, the hot rumor is that Josh Brooks, Sylvain Guintoli, and maybe even Davide Giuliano will be going to BSB in 2017, which would make BSB a pretty good series in terms of names. It looks like Leon Haslam has an offer to stay in BSB and also an offer to return to Superbikes. You know, I think if he stays in BSB with all of those names, then Ellison, Laverty, Byrne, maybe Keo, if he can, I don't know, not be terrible. No, you know, BSB, just from the names alone, sounds really, really exciting. And yeah, if it has those names, World Superbike could be in for a bit of a tough year trying to attract crowds. So yeah, keep an eye on, obviously, now that we have MotoGP sewed up. I think we have it all sewed up. We're just waiting to see what Hernandez does, but I imagine he'll stay. Moto 2 is starting to come into place more and more. Moto 3 is starting to take a bit of shape as well. World Superbike, all the top seats there are filled. And then the other big question mark for 2017 is the 2017 MotoGP calendar, which came out just hours before we recorded this podcast. In terms of circuits, there are no major changes. I mean, there's no changes at all. All the circuits are the same. Austria and Brno, they've swapped order, and then some of the dates have been shuffled around. So we start in Qatar on the 26th of March. Then, in theory, obviously, this is still the provisional calendar, so it could change. On the 9th of April, we'll go to Argentina. Then on the 23rd of April, we race in Austin. Obviously, that's no longer a back-to-back GP, so that hopefully nobody gets trapped in Argentina like they did this year. That was all quite comical. Then on the 7th of May, we go to Jerez. The 21st of May, we go to Le Mans. Unfortunately, that is that track is still on the calendar. Can't say I'm the biggest fan of Le Mans. It's just not a great circuit. Sorry for any French listeners. Then on the 4th of June, we go to Mugello. Then the 11th of June, we go to Barcelona. 25th of June, we go to Assen. 16th of July, we go to Der Sachsenring. Then on the 6th of August, we go to Brno. So, you know, pretty big gap there between Assen on the 25th of June, then Germany 16th of July, then August 6th for Brno. That's a pretty big gap. I think that's, what, one race in 5 weeks. So, you know, that's sort of a summer break-ish. Then week after Brno is Austria. Then that's the 13th of August for Austria. Then 27th of August is the British Grand Prix at Silverstone, but it is subject to contract. Now, I'm not sure what that means, because to my knowledge, there's no other circuit in the UK that is homologated to run the MotoGP World Championship. Obviously, I don't think Donington is because, you know, we were originally meant to be racing at Donington, but then it couldn't do the upgrade, so then we went back to Silverstone. Circuit of Wales, I still don't think they even own tractors to start digging that, so we're not going to go there. So I'm not sure what subject to contract means, if that's some issue with will a deal be made directly with Silverstone or will it go through Circuit of Wales again? I don't know. Will that affect the race for 99% of fans? Probably not. I can't imagine that we wouldn't have a race in the UK next year. I'm sure that Dorna would pull whatever strings they need to make that go ahead. Then on the 10th of September, we have the Misano race. Then the 24th of September, we have Aragon. So that's about the same time it is this year. Then the 15th of October, we have Japan. 22nd of October, Australia. 29th of October, Malaysia. Again, subject to contract. Then the 12th of November, we are done in Valencia. Once again, Valencia did extend its contract to 2021. Which has also prompted a lot of people to ask, is MotoGP going to get sold? Are Dorna going to sell it? The answer is, I don't know. I'm not a fancy business person. I don't know how it would affect the racing. Obviously, F1 has just been sold and nothing yet has changed there. So ask us again in a couple of weeks. But yeah, that's the provisional calendar. As we said, it can change. So maybe give it just a little bit of time before you go and book any of those tickets. And now that we have the provisional calendar out, we should also soon have the provisional rider entry list coming out. Obviously, for MotoGP, we already more or less know it. And then Moto2 and Moto3, they're not really even worth the ink that went into printing them because, you know, some of those rides aren't finalized till Saturday in Qatar, as we always joke. But I think a lot of people were expecting Thailand to be on the calendar next year. But having worked in Dorna for over a year, I never heard anything about that, so I'm not sure where all those people got that from, but pretty standard calendar next year. As I said, no big surprises there, and that is pretty much all of the news that I can think of off the top of my head. And then we had World Superbikes. They're at Lausitzring in Germany. The circuit was apparently very, very bumpy. Not many people super impressed with the condition of the circuit, but you know, the racing was okay. So there were a fair few crashes, as I said, quite bumpy. Also, it was periodically wet throughout the weekend, but it was okay for Super Pole. Chaz Davies scored, I believe, just his third ever pole position in World Superbike. Then Tom Sykes was second, Nicky Hayden third, having only been able to head out in the final minutes of the session after crashing just before. Lorenzo Salvadori continuing to do very well on that Aprilia in fourth, ahead of Jordi Torres, Jonathan Rea in sixth, bit of a bummer for him, Leon Camier in seventh, ahead of Davide Giuliano, Sylvain Guintoli ninth on his return, not too bad, Michael Vandermark 10th, Marcus Reiterberger in 11th place, and then Alex Lowe's failed set of time in Super Pole 2, having crashed in the same session as Hayden, but unfortunately his bike was a little bit more damaged, so there was nothing that he could do. And then we got on to race 1, obviously now in Superbikes, race 1 happens on the Saturday, so just a couple of hours after qualifying, and it was a Chaz Davies fest. I mean, he got away at the start and then was never touched and went on to win by 10.5 seconds. It's a bit of a shame that he was so good because the race was unfortunately pretty boring as a result for most of it. You had the likes of Sykes, Jonathan Rea, and Davide Giuliano. And also, for a little bit there, you did also have Salvadori trying to mix it up for that podium. Sykes was looking pretty strong, Jonathan was chasing him, and then Jonathan Rea suddenly crashed almost out of nowhere on lap 7. Jonathan Rea crashed. It seemed like his bike just seized. He was going into the corner and then suddenly he was on the ground. It seems like throughout the year he's been having a fair few issues, especially with the gearbox, especially on the downshift of the ZX10R. So he was luckily unhurt, but did have to retire, which then gave Tom Sykes 20 points back in the championship and really added a fair bit of spice and intrigue to all of that. But the crash of Jonathan Rea was soon followed by a crash for Salvadori, And both of those saw Nicky Hayden promoted to third place, where he would eventually finish the race. So again, really, really good job from Nicky Hayden. Again, just, you know, those solid results, same as in 2006, you know, top five, podium, 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 top five, win, win, win. And yeah, Nicky Hayden just slowly grinding away at it. Jordi Torres was then fourth, top BMW by a fair long way. Really good result from him. I should also note that this race one was dry. Then Leon Camier was fifth, good for him. Vandermark sixth. Davide Giuliano, having been so strong at the start, faded to seventh place. Bit of a head scratcher, that one. Alex Lowes, fresh off his MotoGP rides, he was eighth, 27 seconds behind Davies and 17 seconds behind second place man Tom Sykes. Not the best result from him. Sivan Gintoli ninth, 6 seconds behind his teammate on his return. Not too bad overall. Forres, he was 10th, not too bad. Ant West was 11th, ahead of Alex De Angelis. Romano Ramos, 13th. Josh Brooks, 14th. Luca Scassa, 15th, as he got on the Ducati. Luca Scassa continuing to just float around between rides. Then there were retirements for Al Salaiti, Reiterberger, Salvadori Ray, and Carol Abraham. Abraham, who I barely even started the race. He started from pit lane and then had to retire after like five corners or something. So bit of a bummer there for Carol Abraham. I really thought that Abraham would be doing a bit better this year. Is Carol Abraham the same caliber as Marc Márquez? No, but Carol Abraham, you know, he still won a Moto2 race, and say what you will about early Moto2 races, but you know, there were 50 other guys and gals out on track then, so they certainly didn't happen by accident. And I was hoping that Abraham could at least get in the top five. I don't think Abraham has had a single top five finish this year. We'll check when we come to the standings. But anyway, so that was Saturday. I'm going to take another sip of Red Bull. That was Saturday in Germany. And then everybody went to sleep and prepared for race day number two on Sunday. And everything was looking okay. And then as they lined up on the grid on Sunday, the rain came. Lots and lots and lots of rain. The race start was eventually delayed by just over an hour, I think it was. They'd sort of had two attempted goes, but then the rain got too heavy, and then the riders sort of stuck up their hands and said, no, this is, you know, dangerous, so fair play to race direction for following the riders and, you know, pushing the race back a little bit. You know, safety obviously does come first, but it was sort of the exact opposite of Saturday in terms of results. It was Jonathan Rea, who a really, really good ride in the really, really tricky conditions from Jonathan Rea to win by just under 10 seconds. Then Tom Sykes had been looking strong in the first couple of corners, but crashed, I think it was at turn five. So all that work that Sykes had done in the first race was basically for nothing, as Sykes recovered for 12th place. So in the end, Jonathan Rea actually left the German round of the World Superbike Championship, gaining more points over his teammate. So a bit disappointing for the championship that Sykes fell. And then behind them, there was just a lot of crashes, you know. Davide Giuliano, he was chasing Rea, he crashed. Salvadori, he was chasing Jonathan Rea, he crashed. Ant West, he was, you know, charging through the field, got up to fourth place, and then crash. You know that if it's wet and Ant West crashes, that it must be pretty tricky out there. So fair play to everyone who did stay upright there. So it would eventually be Alex De Angelis who actually returned to the podium with second place. Really, really, really good to see Alex De Angelis back on the podium, you know. That crash in Motegi last year was very, very scary. You know, he was in a coma. I think he had a fair bit of nerve damage after that. So, you know, he hasn't had the best season coming back. Salvadori has outshone him a fair bit on that Aprilia RSV4. But so, so, so good to see De Angelis get back on the podium. You know, it seemed like everyone was really happy for him. You know, Alex De Angelis, very good rider, obviously, you know, MotoGP podium finisher. And good to see that he could still do something and, you know, could stick with it and could get rewarded with a podium. Then behind him was Xavier Forres, who scored his first podium finish in the World Superbike Championship. Good for him. Then fourth place was Leon Camier. Camier was closing down Forres, 2 seconds behind, so close to getting a first podium for MV Agusta. Gintoli was fifth. Kontoli was a bit disappointed not to finish higher, which is fair play to him. Jazz Davies was sixth, very careful ride from him, just wanted to get some points. Josh Brooks with his best finish of the year in seventh place and the leading BMW. Michael Vandermark in eighth. Vandermark had a really nasty crash, but remounted with a pretty dinged up Honda and did finish the race. At the time, everything seemed okay with that dinged up Honda, but there was a bit of controversy after the race. If you follow our social media, then be sure to check that out. Romano Ramos, he was ninth, so another really solid result for the Spaniard. Nicky Hayden, 10th. Hayden, not really feeling it in the wet conditions. Scasser, 11th. Sykes, who crashed, as we said, on the first lap, eventually recovered to 12th. Then Vitsiello, 13th. Then Pavel Skopeck, the Polish rider, he was 14th. Apparently, in Pavel Skopeck's pre-race press release, he had claimed that if it rained on one of the races, then he could win this race. Well, he didn't quite win it, but he did get 2 points. I should also point out that Pavel Skopeck and his team, Team Toth, they only started using telemetry for the first time at the Misano test just before the summer break. And I should also highlight that telemetry basically just requires you plugging in a laptop into your bike. So it's something that most track day riders can do. So he was very ambitious to try and win that race. He did beat Carol Abraham, which was quite good. Then Peter Sebastian, the other Team Toth rider, he was 16th, but a lap down. Then the DNFers we had were Dominic Schmitter, Saeed Al-Salaiti, Alex Lowes, Reiterberger, Salvadori, West, Torres, and Davide Giuliano. So pretty hectic race there. Not a great tight battle at the front, but, you know, wet races are always a bit exciting because you don't quite know who's going to keep it upright. So we do have six more races left. That is a total of 150 points, so the championship isn't quite over yet, but it is still Jonathan Rea who leads it with 393 points. Then Tom Sykes is second, 346, which is 47 points behind his teammate. So it's going to be a bit tricky. Chaz Davies is 98 points back on Ray and 51 points back on Sykes with 295. So he's probably going to be in third place. And then on 203 is Michael Vandermark. He's mathematically out of winning the championship in fourth place. 190 points behind Jonathan Rea. Fourth place, 190 points behind Jonathan Rea. That's incredible. Then Nicky Hayden, 195. So he's only 8 points behind his teammate. Giuliano, 194. So only 1 point behind him. So that battle for fourth place, really tight there. And Torres, 7th, he's 168. Camus in 8th, he's 34 points behind Torres. Xavi Fores, he's 9th. Salvadori is 10th. Lowes is 11th. Alex De Angelis is 12th. Gintoli is 13th. Ramos is 14th. Brooks is 15th. Reiterberger, 16th. Anthony West, who only came in Sepang, he scored 55 points. Whereas Carol Abraham, who's been here since the start of the season, he has only scored 33 points. He scored under a tenth of what Jonathan Rea has. And his best finish was, what's that, 7? Carol Abraham's only been inside the top 10 once, unless I'm doing that math wrong, because the most points he scored in a single round was race 1 Donington when he scored 7 points. And 7 points is 9th place, no? I think it is. Points, 9th place. I think so. Yeah, it is. Anyway, so, yeah, what a disaster for Carol Abraham. You know, everyone is saying, oh, Brooks is having a bad season. He has 69 points. That's more than double the amount of points that Carol Abraham has. So, poor guy. Anyway, I think we're now going to throw it over to Skylar Vicroy, our resident American, and I think he's going to take you through the World Supersport race. A big shout-out to Thule, the Finnish rider, who, if you watch the race, big ups, T-Dog, Thule. Yeah, really good result for him, and hopefully we get to see him a bit more, but I'm sure Skylar will talk about it now. So over to you, SV. And we are now back in action with Harry Lloyd. We're going to have one more sip of Red Bull. Delicious, as I almost cough it up. And now we're going to talk about BSB. We are now into the showdown. A controversial showdown. Our top six were finalised, and you know, some big names missing out. Michael Laverty, probably the biggest. The BMW is not really finding the form that they once had. But so in qualifying, it was Leon Haslam who took pole position ahead of Shane Byrne. James Ellison finding his form again to secure the final spot on the front row. Luke Mossy, he was fourth with quite a cool, Mick Grant retro livery. Nice, so white and green Kawasaki. Christian Iden, fifth. Dan Linfoot, sixth. Tommy Bridewell, seventh. Jason O'Halloran, eighth. Peter Hickman, ninth. Then Lee Bob Jackson rounded out the top 10. Michael Laverty was 12th, so not great for him. John Hopkins was 17th. And then, of course, Richie Chianari was having his first ride with Smith's BMW, but he crashed and injured his knee, so couldn't even race. So, you know, well, yeah, Chianari, what do we say about Richie Chianari? So then we had race one of the British Superbike Championship at Donington Park. As we said, I have now remembered which race circuit we were at. It was Donington Park. Of course, Donington Park always produces really, really nice racing. You know, it's a great superbike circuit. It'd be interesting to see MotoGP go back there, but is it safe enough? I don't know exactly. But yeah, it was Shane Byrne who won that race 7 seconds ahead of Leon Haslam. It was a pretty nice little fight there for a little bit. But Byrne proved untouchable, and he did set a new outright lap record, a 129.136. So yeah, he beat Haslam second. Jason O'Halloran was third. So three different bikes inside the top three and on the podium, pretty good. Then it was James Ellison fourth, Peter Hickman fifth. So those three JG Speedfit Kawasakis again, three of them in the top five, not too bad. Richard Cooper, the leading BMW, in sixth place. Dan Linfoot seventh, Christian in eighth, John Hopkins ninth, Michael Laverty 10th, Jakob Smerts in 11th. Really good result from Smerts. Smerts confuses me a bit. You know, he was so strong in World Superbikes. You know, he got pole positions and, you know, a couple of podiums, I think. But then, you know, just sort of slid. And, you know, he's the sort of rider who you think would excel in British Superbikes, but he just really, really struggled. But, you know, nice to see a bit of form coming back for Smerts. Lee Jackson, 12th. Glenn Irwin, 13th. Josh Hook, 14th. Then Ian Utso in 15th place. Then we had DNFs for Billy McConnell, Stuart Easton, Tommy Bridewell, Philip Backlund, Luke Mossy, Jenny Tinmouth, Alistair Seeley, James Rispoli. They all DNF'd. Then race two. Race two was even more dramatic. I think the highlight of the race was it was towards the endish. So Leon Haslam was on the inside. I think it was towards the Melbourne Loop. I believe that's the name of the corner. Shaky had stuck his foot out, as riders now have a tendency to do. And Haslam was so close to him that Shaky actually had to pick his foot up. That's the first time I've ever seen a rider move their foot out of the way. I thought Shaky was going to lose his toes. But as those two are sort of messing each other up, just sweeping around from the outside of the corner comes James Ellison and almost collects all three of them. Luckily, they do all stay upright, at least for a little bit. So that was a very, very good move there. And you can go onto the official BSB, YouTube. And they do have onboard footage of that from BSB race two. But it was Shane Shakyburn who won that race. Leon Haslam had been with him, but then Haslam unfortunately suffered a crash. And obviously in the showdown, suffering a crash is a pretty big deal because the showdown is now like a normal motorcycling season because the showdown. So Dan Linfoot was actually in second place because James Ellison had huge tyre problems and dropped way down the field. Then Christian Iden, he returned his Tyco BMW to the podium for the first time since the second round, I think. And that was when he started the year with four podiums on the bounce. So good to see Iden get a bit of form. Peter Hickman, he was fourth. He and Jason O'Halloran had a bit of a touch on the opening lap, and unfortunately Jason O'Halloran did go down. I don't think it was intentional that Hickman did touch him. Richard Cooper was fifth ahead of Tommy Bridewell. James Ellison, as we said, big tyre problems, seventh. Luke Mossy, eighth. Billy McConnell, ninth. Glenn Irwin in 10th. Lee Jackson in 11th. Jakob Smerts, 12th, so more decent points. Michael Laverty in 13th. I just don't know what's going on with Laverty. You know, he should be someone who's up there fighting for wins. That BMW, at least to the start of the season, was battling for championship contention, but it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like Laverty doesn't even have any motive. I'm sure he is motivated, you know, that's probably a really stupid thing of me to say, but Yeah, I just don't understand. Stuart Easton was 14th and Ian Utso again scored another little point there. Then Josh Hook, he DNF'd. Hopkins DNF'd because he had a big engine problem. Haslam, as we said, he crashed. O'Halloran also crashed. And now we come to our British Super Stock 600 special report because Jordan Weaving won the race yet again. I believe that's Jordan's third win of the season. From memory, and that does now move Jordan to the head of the championship. I don't think he was there before, but maybe he was there the round before. But one more round for them, and Jordan, i.e. the guy managed by the great Dave Neal, is leading the championship by 21 points. So all looking good for Jordan Weaving there, and if you are going along to the season finale at Brands Hatch, then be sure to cheer Jordan along. And so now we come to the most important part of the show, the MCN Fantasy League, updated the 21st of September by Martin Darlington. Excellent. Thank you for that one, Martin. It is all up to date. And he has put in big bold letters here, do the MCN League standings. So Martin, I am fulfilling your request as much as it may pain me to do. So Shothole Racing, CLLFC, Craig Lowe is again, leading the MotoGP Championship, pretty significant lead, 2,719 points. He's ninth overall in the MCN League. I wish I was as talented as you, Craig, at picking motorcycle fantasy teams. I have not changed my team since the start of the year. Then a BF8 Ben Fetterplace is continuing to buy his way up in the MotoGP League, second overall, 2,606 points, pretty solid there. Then Nibby's Knee Sliders, Stuart Nibbs, 2,557, third place overall. Those three guys have not changed their positions. Obviously, last weekend was a pretty big one with two superbike races. So if you are needing to change it before the MotoGP round in Aragon, then you might have already missed your opportunity. I'm not sure what the transfer windows are like anymore because, as I said, I have not checked or changed my team in a long time. So Martin is 14th overall and is leading the Hosts League with Huge Ass Racing, 2,326 points. Martin definitely trying the hardest, I'm going to say. and then second in the Host League, but 110th overall, and almost 1,000 points back is Scott Bolton with Team MotoDog, 1,380 2 points. Then I'm third overall, 116th, with Necessary Faster, Harry Lloyd, 1,352 points. Then Dave is 120th, 1,345. I think I was ahead of Dave. No, I think I was behind Dave last week, but I'm not sure about that one. I cannot remember exactly. Then what's that? So Dave is fourth. Then fifth in the Host League is Len, 176th, and then Skylar Vicroy, 594, but I think Skylar joined it pretty late, so we will give him a pass and begin to harass him at the start of next season. One of these seasons, I will remember to do all my team changes. Obviously, the next major race coming up is Aragon this weekend. I'm very excited. I'm not excited for my 3 a.m. wake up to get to the airport. But I'm excited. In Moto3, Brad Binder could wrap up the title. I think he just needs to finish in first or second to win the title, which would be a very early title win. But as we've seen in Moto3 before, Aragon can throw up some surprises. It's now up to Aniya Bastianini to stop Brad Binder because Jorge Navarro continues to keep throwing himself off the motorcycle like he's allergic to it. So yeah, you know, we've had Brad on the podcast a fair few times. You know, I know Brad personally a little bit, so I would love to see Brad wrap up the championship in Aragon. And if not, it seems only a matter of time. You know, we've said all season, I think it's since Jerez, we've basically been saying that it's Binder's championship to lose, and you know, he's been so strong. He's just so strong, and as I said, I can't see him not taking this championship. So, yeah, go Brad, go. Then in Moto2, it is all nice and tight between Zarco and Rins. Rins should be even healthier from his busted collarbone, so hopefully that'll be game on for him and Zarco. And then you have guys like Morbidelli, like Lowe's, and like Baldassare, who don't really have anything to lose. Then, of course, the likes of Tom Lutie and Takaaki Nakagami. So that championship will continue to be exciting. Then MotoGP. Will we have a ninth different winner? I think if we are to have a ninth different winner, it would have to be Andrea Dovizioso. He certainly has the motorcycle capable of doing it. You know, in theory, Alicia Spargo does too, but I don't know, this season Alicia Spargo has just really not impressed me at all. You know, he's crashing a fair bit in these last couple of races, and he's just really being outperformed by Maverick Viñales. So I can't see Spargo doing it. I can't see either of the Aprilias doing it. We've already had Cal and Jack. I think that the likes of Petrucci and Redding, they need wet weather to try and win. Nicky Hayden, you know, it'd be a great story if Hayden won, but let's be honest, I don't think he will. No slight against Nicky there. As I said, the Aprilias, no. The Aspar bikes, again, need to be very, very wet. The Avintia bikes need to be very, very wet. And I think that's pretty much everyone. You know, to have eight winners in a single season and eight consecutive different winners is incredible. You know, it's the most since some long, long time ago. And yeah, it's been a great season, but it'll be interesting to see who now does come strong. You know, Pedrosa, he usually goes very well at Aragon. Jorge Lorenzo, he's gone well at Aragon in the past. Valentino Rossi never won at Aragon, one of three circuits on the current calendar he's never won at, the other being Austria and Austin. All beginning with A. Wonder if he doesn't like circuits / countries / regions beginning with A. So Rossi could do it. As I said, Lorenzo's usually strong. Marquez could do it. You know, Marquez has sort of eased it off the last couple of races. Maybe he'll go attack in Aragon to see what he can do. But he is still, you know, just quite calmly nursing that point advantage and you know, being pretty mature about his point advantage, not doing anything too silly at all. And yeah, and then after this we have, what is it, a week or two off, and then it's the triple header, the flyaways, and then it's almost over. It's almost all over. But I think this show is all over because I have drank almost this entire 500ml can of Red Bull. And I'm starting to see through space and time. So thank you, everybody, for listening. A big thank you from both myself and Skylar Vickery and all of the other hosts. Sorry, it has been a bit loosey-goosey these last few weeks. It should all settle down. I should be getting a car soon in the UK, so that should improve things a little bit. Funny story, I had my driving instructor poo his pants on one lesson, so that sort of delayed me getting my license by a day or two. Yeah, maybe we'll save that Motopod story for when there's another host, but that was very interesting, having a grown man poo himself in front of me. And hopefully my grandparents didn't listen this far. And with that, it is goodbye and good night from me, and we will see everybody next week. I'm now off to try and get about 3 hours sleep before I have to get up and get on a bus to go to Heathrow Terminal 3. Once again, if you're in Aragon, then do come say hi. It's been a huge pleasure, air quotes, talking to you. And keep rocking, guys. That was a shit outro. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Harry. Hey, guys. Skyler here. Going to try my first attempt at doing something solo. I'm going to cover the World Supersport race for this weekend. So let's get right into it with qualifying. Taking his fifth pole this evening was Kenyan Safaglu, followed by Nicky Tooley. In third was Gino Rey, filling out the top row. Fourth was Christopher Bergman. Fifth, Randy Krumenecker. Sixth was Jules Cluzel. Seventh, Lorenzo Zanetti. Eighth, Ayrton Badovini. Ninth, PJ Jacobson. And tenth, Luke Stapleford. That's your top 10 in qualifying. Nothing too weird except for that Nicky Tooley name that we don't know too much about, but we're going to learn a little bit later on in the show, because that is a name that's going to be important for the results. Anyway, speaking of those results, let's get right into the race. A little bit of few notes that happened. So the race started off, as most World Supersport races do. It was a mad dash the first few corners, but everyone got through clean. And one name that came flying through up front, even though he didn't have very far to go, but seemed to be back to his old self, was Jules Cluzel. He was slicing and dicing, and he was back to riding like the way we expect Jules to ride on the MV, and it was good to see him come up. Zarconi crashed on the first lap, unfortunately, and there was a little bit of excitement there. A little couple of laps later, Niki Tuuli passed Keenan Sefaoglu for the lead. Now, that was completely unexpected. Now, even though Niki Tuuli did qualify in second, I for one had no idea who he was, but I for sure did not expect him to be passing Keenan Sefaoglu in World Supersport. That's not done by many people, let alone someone who's just popped up into the series. But Sefaoglu got back around to him fairly soon after that and started to pull away just ever so slightly at that point. Unfortunately, Gino Rey went out with a technical issue, and Gino has had some bad luck this year to go some good luck, but that's kind of been his career. He goes up and down, and one of these years, he's got to get a consistent ride, because I think the guy has a lot of talent, and he just doesn't get an opportunity to show it. But I would like to see him maybe on one of the bigger teams next year, or, well, in the coming years, or just get a better turn of events for Gino. After that, Tuuli was starting to catch Sefaoglu again. Now, was it a case of Sefaoglu just controlling the pace? I'm not sure, but you can see that Tuuli was faster in certain sectors than Sefaoglu was, but eventually Sefaoglu did start to pull away with about six laps to go, and he was headed off to his fifth win of the season, and more than likely probably headed off to his fifth championship of the year, because his closest rival Krumenacker was getting beat up in the last couple laps. He lost two spots. He almost lost three spots to Lorenzo Zanetti, but got back by to finish in sixth. Let's get to the results here real quick. The results for the race was Keenan Sefaoglu was in first, Niki Tuuli in second, Jules Clozel in third, PJ Jacobsen in fourth. I think it's Francesco Caracasello. I may have got that first name wrong. I'm sorry if I did. I didn't look it up. Sorry. Randy Krumenacker was in sixth, Lorenzo Zanetti in seventh, Christopher Bergman in eighth, Kyle Smith in ninth, and another name I don't know, Akubo. He was in 10th. I had to look up his first name, but there's a few names that popped up at this racetrack that I hadn't seen all year that were definitely raising some eyebrows. And one of those names that we had mentioned before was Niki Tuuli. And we got an email this week from frequent emailer and friend of the show, Gary Chavit. And he was asking, "Hey guys, did you see the Supersport race from Germany? Who is this Finnish kid Tuuli and where has he been hiding? Regards, Gary." Gary, thank you for the email. I had no idea either. I had to look him up, and Lynn Padilla, one of the other hosts, he said that he's been racing on the Callio team in the Euro 600 Superstar for a while, and he has seen him at the Motorland of Aragon, and he was quite fast there, and I guess he's kind of been just kind of hiding in the Finnish series. He dominates the Finnish series, and according to the commentators from this race, he was serving his country last year in the military, and since then, he's been back dominating the Finnish series again. So he's a name to look out for. He's only 20 years old, and he's going to finish out the rest of the World Supersport season, which is good to see him and the Yamaha back in the fold. Now, that Yamaha is still obviously a good bike. It's been around since about 2007 in this iteration, roughly. There's been a few updates, but generally hasn't had a major overhaul since then. And this is the same bike that took Cal Crutchlow to his 2009 championship, Chaz Davies to the 2011 championship, and it took Sam Lowes to the 2013 championship. This is a proven bike, and it's kind of sad not to see it in World Supersport as much anymore, but I'm guessing that Yamaha support for World Supersport may have died down here in the last couple years. But hopefully, with this kid Tuuli coming back into the paddock for the rest of this year, and he's going to race all of next year, he will garner more support and hopefully a little more attention from Yamaha, and we may see them come back with a bit of a stronger effort for next year. Because I've definitely missed seeing that bike there for sure. It also gives a bigger mix to the field with the Honda, the Triumph, the Kawasaki's, and it's just another manufacturer, more eyeballs on the TV, yada yada, and so on and so forth. Well, I think that's probably gonna do it for me. I'm just rambling on at this point. Harry could edit this part out if not, because there was a rumor that PJ Jacobsen was going to be going to Moto2 next year. It's a slight rumor. P- Apparently, he's been looking around the paddock for a ride. He may have gotten a ride with the team, but it's obviously not going to be on one of the big teams. But hey, another American in Moto2, another American in MotoGP would be great. Hopefully, he can do a little bit better than Josh Herron did when he went there. Although, all fairness to Josh, he did get stuck in a really tough situation. And obviously, he's a good rider because he won the Superstock 1000 Championship this year in Moto America. Also, speaking of Moto America, like we said on last week's show, we're gonna cover the last race, and we're gonna do a little bit of a season review. Myself and Scott will do that probably in the next few weeks. We didn't really find time to do it this week as we wanted to make sure we gathered up enough information and see if we can't snag a couple interviews for you guys out there. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me, and back to you, Harry.
And we are now back in action with Harry Lloyd. We're going to have one more sip of Red Bull. Delicious, as I almost cough it up. And now we're going to talk about BSB. We are now into the showdown, the controversial showdown. Our top six were finalized, and, you know, some big names missing out. Michael Laverty, probably the biggest. The BMW is not really finding the form that they once had. But so in qualifying, it was Leon Haslam who took pole position ahead of Shane Byrne. James Ellison finding his form again to secure the final spot on the front row. Luke Mossy, he was fourth with quite a cool, Mick Grant retro livery. Nice, so white and green Kawasaki. Christian Iden, fifth. Dan Linfoot, 6th, Tommy Bridewell, 7th, Jason O'Halloran, 8th, Peter Hickman, 9th, then Lee Bob Jackson rounded out the top 10, Michael Laverty was 12th, so not great for him, John Hopkins was 17th, and then of course Richie Chiannari was having his first ride with Smith's BMW, but he crashed and injured his knee, so couldn't even race, so, you know, well, yeah, Chiannari, what do we say about Richie Chiannari? So then we had race one of the British Superbike Championship at Donington Park. As we said, I have now remembered which race circuit we were at. It was Donington Park. Of course, Donington Park always produces really, really nice racing. You know, it's a great superbike circuit. It'd be interesting to see MotoGP go back there, but is it safe enough? I don't know exactly. But yeah, it was Shane Byrne who won that race 7 seconds ahead of Leon Haslam. It was a pretty nice little fight there for a little bit. But Byrne proved untouchable. And he did set a new outright lap record, a 129.136. He beat Haslam second. Jason O'Halloran was third. So three different bikes inside the top three and on the podium, pretty good. Then it was James Ellison fourth, Peter Hickman fifth. So those three JG Speedfit Kawasakis again, three of them in the top five, not too bad. Richard Cooper, the leading BMW, in sixth place. Dan Linfoot seventh, Christian in eighth, John Hopkins ninth, Michael Laverty tenth, Jakob Smirts in 11th. Really good result from Smirts. Smirts confuses me a bit. You know, he was so strong in World Superbikes. You know, he got pole positions and, you know, a couple of podiums, I think. But then, you know, he just sort of slid. And, you know, he's the sort of rider who you think would excel in British Superbikes, but he just really, really struggled. But, you know, and I see a bit of form coming back for Smirts. Lee Jackson, 12th. Glenn Irwin, 13th. Josh Hook, 14th. Then Iannuzzo in 15th place. Then we had DNFs for Billy McConnell, Stuart Easton, Tommy Bridewell, Philip Backlund, Luke Mossy, Jenny Tinmouth, Alistair Seeley, James Rispoli. They all DNF'd. Then race two. Race two was even more dramatic. I think the highlight of the race was it was towards the endish. So Leon Haslam was on the inside. I think it was towards the Melbourne Loop. I believe that's the name of the corner. Shaky had stuck his foot out, as riders now have a tendency to do. And Haslam was so close to him that Shaky actually had to pick his foot up. That's the first time I've ever seen a rider move their foot out of the way. I thought Shaky was going to lose his toes. But as those two are sort of messing each other up, just sweeping around from the outside of the corner comes James Ellison and almost collects all three of them. Luckily, they do all stay upright, at least for a little bit. So that was a very good move there, and you can go onto the official BSB, YouTube, and they do have onboard footage of that from BSB Race 2. But it was Shane Shakyburn who won that race. Leon Haslam had been with him, but then Haslam unfortunately suffered a crash. And obviously in the showdown, suffering a crash is a pretty big deal because the showdown is now like normal motorcycling season because the showdown. So Dan Linfoot was actually in second place because James Ellison had huge tyre problems and dropped way down the field. Then Christian Eden, he returned his Tyco BMW to the podium for the first time since the second round, I think. And that was when he started the year with four podiums on the bounce. So good to see Eden get a bit of form. Peter Hickman, he was fourth. He and Jason O'Halloran had a bit of a touch on the opening lap, and unfortunately Jason O'Halloran did go down. I don't think it was intentional that Hickman did touch him. Richard Cooper was fifth ahead of Tommy Bridewell. James Ellison, as we said, big tyre problems, seventh. Luke Mossy, eighth. Billy McConnell, ninth. Glenn Irwin in 10th. Lee Jackson in 11th. Jakob Smerts, 12th, so more decent points. Michael Laverty in 13th. I just don't know what's going on with Laverty, you know? He should be someone who's up there fighting for wins. That BMW, at least to the start of the season, was battling for championship contention, but it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like Laverty doesn't even have any motive. I'm sure he is motivated, you know? That's probably a really stupid thing of me to say, but yeah, I don't understand. Stuart Easton was 14th, and Ian Utso again scored another little point there. Then Josh Hook, he DNF'd. Hopkins DNF'd because he had a big engine problem. Haslam, as we said, he crashed. O'Halloran also crashed. And now we come to our British Superstock 600 special report because Jordan Weaving won the race yet again. I believe that's Jordan's third win of the season from memory. And that does now move Jordan to the head of the championship. I don't think he was there before, but maybe he was there the round before. But one more round for them, and Jordan, i.e. the guy managed by the great Dave Neal, is leading the championship by 21 points. So all looking good for Jordan Weaving there, and if you are going along to the season finale at Brands Hatch, then be sure to cheer Jordan along. And so now we come to the most important part of the show, the MCN Fantasy League. Updated the 21st of September by Martin Darlington. Excellent. Thank you for that one, Martin. It is all up to date. And he has put in big bold letters here, do the MCN League standings. So, Martin, I am fulfilling your request as much as it may pain me to do. So, Shothole Racing, CLLFC, Craig Lowe, is again leading the MotoGP Championship. Pretty significant lead, 2,719 points. He's ninth overall in the MCN League. I wish I was as talented as you, Craig, at picking motorcycle fantasy teams. I have not changed my team since the start of the year. Then a BF8 Ben Fettplace is continuing to buy his way up in the MotoPod League. Second overall, 2,606 points. Pretty solid there. Then Nibby's Knee Sliders, Stuart Nibbs, 2,557, third place overall. Those three guys have not changed their positions. Obviously, last weekend was a pretty big one with two superbike races. So if you are needing to change it before the MotoGP round in Aragon, then you might have already missed your opportunity. I'm not sure what the transfer windows are like anymore because, as I said, I have not checked or changed my team in a long time. So Martin is 14th overall and is leading the Hosts League with Huge Ass Racing, 2,326 points. Martin definitely trying the hardest, I'm going to say. and then second in the Host League, but 110th overall and almost 1,000 points back is Scott Bolton with Team Motordog, 1,380 2 points. Then I'm third overall, 116th, with Necessary Faster, Harry Lloyd, 1,352 points. Then Dave is 120th, 1,345. I think I was ahead of Dave. No, I think I was behind Dave last week, but I'm not sure about that one. I cannot remember exactly. Then what's that? So Dave is fourth. Then fifth in the Host League is Len, 176th, and then Skylar Vickroy, 594, but I think Skylar joined it pretty late, so we will give him a pass and begin to harass him at the start of next season. One of these seasons, I will remember to do all my team changes, Obviously, the next major race coming up is Aragon this weekend. I'm very excited. I'm not excited for my 3am wake up to get to the airport, but I'm excited. In Moto3, Brad Binder could wrap up the title. I think he just needs to finish in first or second to win the title, which would be a very early title win. But as we've seen in Moto3 before, Aragon can throw up some surprises. It's now up to Aniya Bastianini to stop Brad Binder, because Jorge Navarro continues to keep throwing himself off the motorcycle like he's allergic to it. So yeah, you know, we've had Brad on the podcast a fair few times. You know, I know Brad personally a little bit, so I would love to see Brad wrap up the championship in Aragon. And if not, it seems only a matter of time. You know, we've said all season, I think it's since Jerez, we've basically been saying that it's Binder's championship to lose. And, you know, he's been so strong. He's just so strong. And as I said, I can't see him not taking this championship. So, yeah, go Brad, go. Then in Moto2, it is all nice and tight between Zarco and Rins. Rins should be even healthier from his busted collarbone, so hopefully that'll be game on for him and Zarco. And then you have guys like Morbidelli, like Lowe's, and like Baldassare, who don't really have anything to lose. Then, of course, the likes of Tom Lutie and Takaaki Nakagami. So that championship will continue to be exciting. Then MotoGP. Will we have a ninth different winner? I think if we are to have a ninth different winner, it would have to be Andrea Dovizioso. He certainly has the motorcycle capable of doing it. You know, in theory, Alicia Spargaro does too, but I don't know, this season Alicia Spargaro has just really not impressed me at all. You know, he's crashing a fair bit in these last couple of races, and he's just really being outperformed by Maverick Viñales. So I can't see Spargaro doing it. I can't see either of the Aprilias doing it. We've already had Cal and Jack. I think that the likes of Petrucci and Redding, they need wet weather to try and win. Nicky Hayden, you know, it'd be a great story if Hayden won, but let's be honest, I don't think he will. No slight against Nicky there. As I said, the Aprilias, no. The Aspar bikes, again, need to be very, very wet. The Avintia bikes need to be very, very wet. And I think that's pretty much everyone. You know, to have eight winners in a single season and eight consecutive different winners is incredible. You know, it's the most since some long, long time ago. And yeah, it's been a great season, but it'll be interesting to see who now does come strong. You know, Pedrosa, he usually goes very well at Aragon. Jorge Lorenzo, he's gone well at Aragon in the past. Valentino Rossi never won at Aragon, one of three circuits on the current calendar he's never won at, the other being Austria and Austin. All beginning with A. Wonder if he doesn't like circuits / countries / regions beginning with A. So Rossi could do it. As I said, Lorenzo's usually strong. Marquez could do it. You know, Marquez has sort of eased it off the last couple of races. Maybe he'll go attack in Aragon to see what he can do. But he is still, you know, just quite calmly nursing that point advantage and you know, being pretty mature about his point advantage, not doing anything too silly at all. And yeah, and then after this we have, what is it, a week or two off, and then it's the triple header, the flyaways, and then it's almost over. It's almost all over. But I think this show is all over, because I have drank almost this entire 500ml can of Red Bull. And I'm starting to see through space and time. So thank you, everybody, for listening. A big thank you from both myself and Skylar Vickery and all of the other hosts. Sorry, it has been a bit loosey-goosey these last few weeks. It should all settle down. I should be getting a car soon in the UK, so that should improve things a little bit. Funny story, I had my driving instructor poo his pants on one lesson, so that sort of delayed me getting my license by a day or two. Yeah, maybe we'll save that Motopod story for when there's another host, but that was very interesting, having a grown man poo himself in front of me. And hopefully my grandparents didn't listen this far. And with that, it is goodbye and good night from me, and we will see everybody next week. I'm now off to try and get about 3 hours sleep before I have to get up and get on a bus to go to Heathrow Terminal 3. Once again, if you're in Aragon, then do come say hi. It's been a huge pleasure, air quotes, talking to you. And keep rocking, guys. That was a shit outro. Bye, everyone. Thank you.